Monster Man, episode 447, Phoenix to Pudding Comma Deadly.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we'll be taking a look at six more monsters from Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And although technically we're not seeing any monsters that we haven't seen before, one of them is so different that I feel like it really is one we haven't seen before. But before we do that, it's time to thank some new Patreon backers. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I take a look at the myths and religions of the world and how to find inspiration from them for your fantasy role-playing games. Our next episode will be covering a period that I spent a lot of time in my life researching, so hopefully you're going to find it enjoyable. So thank you very much to returning patron Jake Harper. Jake, thank you so much for your support. It means a lot to me. In other news, I also have a guest appearance on the podcast This Old Dungeon. I'll put a link to the This Old Dungeon feed in the show notes. The actual episode won't be out for another few days, but I'll drop a link to it in Friday's episode as well. It was a lot of fun talking with Lou, Bill, and Edwin, the host of that show, about the controversial 1st edition AD&D supplement, Fiendfolio. Okay, let's look at some monsters. Now, while we were recording the charity special for One Shot Revolver, Damien reminded me that I actually skipped the Phoenix. I just turned over two pages at once or something. So let's briefly talk about the Phoenix as it appears in Monstrous Manual. So the Phoenix here is very much expanded from the Phoenix in 1st edition, although a lot of that is just a more detailed examination of its various magical powers. I did a special episode about the Phoenix not too long ago, so I don't have that much to say about it. You can just go back and listen to that one if you want the lowdown on this mythological creature, which is actually, in the mythology from which it originates, rather different than you think. But that's a story for another time. Specifically, the other time was that special episode. Anyway, the Phoenix here does include some stuff about how different cultures see and understand the Phoenix and the ways in which they treat this as mythological. Now, leaving out that this might not make a whole lot of sense in a fantasy world where supernatural beings like the Phoenix are relatively commonplace, I really like this. You know, it's rare that we get much information about how mortal cultures see these beings, and I quite like that this entry discusses it, even if it does occasionally resort to the exact nature the Phoenix can only guess at by scholars kind of coward's answer. So I went into this prepared not to be that impressed because, you know, it's another monster that we've seen before, and they're usually not too interesting to me, but actually I think there's some interesting stuff, not so much that you would take and use from this in a game, or rather you would, but that's only because it's exactly what you'd expect. You know, it's the Phoenix, more or less. But it's interesting that they discuss it in that kind of mythical context, which was new to me. Now, in the introduction to today's episode, I said that there was a monster that has changed enough that I'm not really sure it's the same creature. Well, it is the same creature, but it's a very different interpretation of it, and that is the poltergeist. The poltergeist originally appeared in the Fiendfolio, where it was very much just a kind of invisible telekinetic creature that, you know, was a ghost or a spirit or something that threw bricks at you. And here it has become much more tied down to a sort of horror interpretation of the monster. The poltergeist, a classic feature of those books full of grainy photographs of ghosts that, at least in my experience, school libraries used to be full of. So traditionally the poltergeist is I believe the word literally means noisy, but it's a sort of mischievous spirit that knocks or makes noises or pushes stuff off shelves or, you know, makes boxes of washing powder land in the middle of the floor kind of things, you know, a sort of explanation for either various hoaxes or for those weird things where we put something somewhere and we just don't remember doing it at all, which can happen, right? Your brain gets into that kind of routine mode where you're not really remembering what you're doing. You're just on automatic pilot, but that doesn't mean you're always doing the right thing. And so sometimes you go, whoa, how did I get here? Or how did that get there? You know? And the poltergeist is sort of an explanation for this. But here, the poltergeist is very specifically a ghost, and in particular, a ghost of a person, quote, whose features have been twisted at the sight of horrors, close quotes. And specifically, they sort of look like Jacob Marley from A Christmas Carol, you know, that they have the chains and things on them. And they can catch you in a phantom shift, which is essentially a flashback that brings you back to the time that the poltergeist died, right? That the mortal who created this spirit, how did they meet their end? And so here we see once again a shift of the focus of ghosts away from the dungeon and into a more familiar ghost story setting, right? So this is like a little bit unusual for D&D, but it is much more typical of a ghost story. That here we have someone who's died, they had, you know, unfinished business or they had some unresolved conflict, and in order to get the ghost out of this haunted house, then it's your job to deal with that. And that to me suggests that what happened here was that this monster was given a Ravenloft makeover. I have not looked at the Ravenloft monstrous compendium, but it would not surprise me at all to find that this where this version of the poltergeist originates. It has much more of a kind of gothic horror vibe about it. It has much more of a traditional haunted house vibe about it, and that to me says this could be a Ravenloft thing. So although technically the poltergeist did appear in the Fiendfolio, this poltergeist, with its much more moralistic rather than like paranormal explanation of what the creature is, fits within that gothic ghost story tradition, and so to me, it feels like a very different creature, right? Like, essentially, it's another interpretation of the same kind of well-known phenomenon in popular culture. Finally, we have the Puddingcama Deadly. Now, the Puddingcama Deadly is a creature from, I want to say, Monster Manual 2, where it is just a series of variants on the Black Pudding. And you know how the Black Pudding dissolves armor? Well, all these different puddings are slightly different, and they dissolve different kinds of things. So, for instance, the Dun Pudding dissolves leather. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. I mean, one might ask whether there are perhaps too many oozes, slimes, jellies, and puddings in the world of Dungeons & Dragons, and indeed, whether the distinction between puddings, which have their own entry, and oozes, slimes, and jellies, which have a different entry, truly needed to be made. They're all kind of blob monsters, and quite a lot of them are blob monsters that glom onto you and dissolve things, including you. That's not to say that any of these monsters are bad. They're in an omnibus entry, which basically combines the versions from Monster Manual and Monster Manual 2. That's fine. It's probably longer than it needs to be. I don't know. There are four of them, right? Four of them in one page. That's not too bad. I do think that they could maybe have picked a more inspiring color than Dun, which is a kind of tan or light brown. Because I just kind of envision this scenario where the DM says, you see a creature oozing towards you. It looks like some kind of blob, and it has a light brownish color. And the players go, oh no, a mustard jelly. And you go, oh, well, no. It's not that yellow. And then they go, oh no, an ochre jelly. You go, oh no, it's even less yellow than that. Just think like no orange at all. And then they go, oh no, a Dun pudding. That's a lot of slightly off-brown slime monsters, you know? I do think that one of the things that maybe made this category of monsters so difficult for creators is that there is nothing wrong with any particular one of these monsters, right? So you wouldn't look at the white pudding and go, this has got to go. This monster's terrible. Because they're all much of a muchness. There's just quite a lot of them, and they're not that different from each other. You know, you could replace a lot of these with a chart that says, pudding monster, it dissolves, roll 1d6. 1, metal. 2, bone. 3, leather. 4, gold, or whatever, right? I'm sure somebody out there has done that, and, you know, good for them. But they're all individually fine. Although, I mean, if I'm picking on monsters about this, the Ooza Slimes, Jellies, and Puddings are actually probably the least offensive in this respect, because they're pretty confined to omnibus entries. They don't take that long to describe. They're mostly fine. Now, there's some types of giants and dragons that are frankly surplus to requirements, and I would love to have a single dragon with then a variety of characteristics. These guys are fine, but at the same time, you do have a little bit of a feeling that, you know, you're not exactly meeting the game's A-team here. These are lesser performers. Which is not in and of itself a bad thing. All right, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In the middle of the week, we're going to be beginning our interseason series of Patron Deities episodes. So if you're a subscriber at the $2 or higher level, you'll have a new episode coming your way probably on Wednesday. And on Friday, we're going to have a special episode looking at a creature from Japanese folklore. So I hope that you'll all join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.